Welcome to Understanding Your Bible. We're glad that you joined us today, and we hope that the broadcast will be a blessing to you. I would invite you to take your Bible and follow along as we go through the Scriptures today. And if you cannot do that, then maybe you could take a pencil and a piece of paper and jot these Scriptures down. Also, at the end of the broadcast, we'll be giving you the address and telephone number where you can request additional information. And we would love to hear from you. And if you do have questions or comments about the program, we would love to have your comments. We've been talking about 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, kind of using that as our starting point each week on the broadcast. In 2 Timothy 2:15, the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, our purpose in the broadcast is to give you information that will better help you understand the word of God. That's why we call the program Understanding Your Bible. I believe that there's an awful lot of confusion about the Bible that doesn't have to be today. And most of it centers around the fact that people do not rightly divide the word of truth. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, there are numerous scriptures in the Bible that are written directly to us during the dispensation of the grace of God, written to the church, the body of Christ, that are separate and distinct from those scriptures that were written to and for the nation Israel. I have a chart up here that we've been using, and I hope that you'll look at it here with me and consider that the Bible, or particularly the New Testament, is laid out exactly how I have it on the chart here. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those books of the Bible, they center around the life of Christ and Christ's ministry of teaching 12 men to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They do that in those books, and in the end of those, we find that Christ is crucified, and in the first part of Acts, we find that the 12 continue the ministry that Christ commissioned them or gave them to carry out. Then Paul is saved in Acts chapter 9. The next 13 books in your Bible are Romans through Philemon. Those are the books that Paul wrote. And in those books, we find the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. We find the doctrine for today, the time in which we're living. The Bible is, the New Testament really is divided up into three parts. Paul said to the Ephesians, "But now, you who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." And so now is what we're concerned with, and that the books of the Bible that deal with now are the books that were written by the Apostle Paul. Then he says, "in time past," and of course that would be prior to his conversion. That would be Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the first part of Acts. And then the Bible talks about a period of time that is to come. And the books of Hebrews through Revelation deal with that period of time which is to come. So to really understand the Bible, you have to understand that there are certain books of the Bible that are written directly to us. Now, all the Bible is written for us. All the Bible is equally inspired. But the writings of Paul are the writings where we find the doctrine for today. Now, that's very important. And along with that, I want you to notice with me today some very important things about the Apostle Paul. Paul is our apostle. Paul wrote 13 books, as I mentioned, Romans through Philemon. And Paul had an awful lot to say in those books about his own ministry, as well as the ministry that was given distinctly to him from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul said to the Corinthians, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." In that same letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." In Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, the Apostle Paul said, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example." And then in 1 Thessalonians 1, 6, he says, "You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." Then to Timothy, Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:7, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." You get the idea that the Apostle Paul was concerned that people would not follow him. Well, why would Paul, who called himself the Apostle to the Gentiles, be so concerned about people following him? Well, the reason being is because that Paul was given, according to Ephesians chapter 3, the dispensation of the grace of God. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I want you to notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. Paul said there, "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." No doubt in Paul's day, there was a problem with people not acknowledging that Paul was an apostle, just like the 12 that had the ministry in the book of Acts. The 12 that followed Christ, Judas having fallen, Matthias replaced him. And so there were 12 there in the book of Acts that were carrying out the ministry of preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Paul was given the gospel of the grace of God, according to Acts chapter 20, given the dispensation of the grace of God. And so Paul, as he writes to the Corinthians, to the Thessalonians, to the Philippians, over and over again, he warns people. He said, "Be ye followers of me." Why? Because Paul was the one that was preaching the message for today. Now, you know, people sometimes, they get a little bit upset when you begin to talk about following Paul. And yet, those same people, most of which would belong to probably a denominational church, all are part of groups, denominations that were started by men. Did you realize that every denomination today was started by some man? Including the Church of Christ, which does not claim to be a denomination. They had a man that started their religion, started their denomination back in the 1800s. And so every church, every denominational church has a founder. You're probably familiar with many of those. And many were wonderful men, very well-meaning men. But the fact is that they can all go back to somebody that started their church. Well, it's no different, really, to go back to the Apostle Paul. It is really much better, I should say, to go back to the Apostle Paul, for the things that we find written in the Scriptures concerning Paul tell us that he is the one that we should follow. Someone asked me one time, said, "Where do you get this doctrine of grace and this idea of being a Berean and studying the Scriptures like you do and so forth?" And I said, "Well, we simply get it from Paul. We're part of the church that Paul started." And so I want us to look at some things today about the Apostle Paul, because it's very important that we take heed to the admonition in the Scriptures, believing the Bible means what it says. Paul said, "Be ye followers of me." Now, the first thing I want you to notice, that Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. He is the apostle to the Gentiles. When Jesus Christ sent out the 12, he said, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles. And into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." When he told the 11 there in Acts chapter 1 that they would be witnesses unto him, he said that they would start in Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then they would go to the uttermost parts of the earth. But notice it started with Jerusalem. When the Apostle Paul was saved, God revealed to him that he had a special purpose in saving him. And that purpose was that Paul, yes, he would go to the Gentiles, or he would go to the Jews, but he was the apostle to the Gentiles. In Romans chapter 11, verse 13, he says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles." Notice he says, "I magnify mine office." Paul was not magnifying himself. He was not magnifying his flesh. He was magnifying the position that he had been given, the office, if you will, that he had been given as the apostle of the Gentiles. He said, "I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles." And then in Romans chapter 15, in Romans 15, verse 8, Paul said concerning Jesus Christ, he said, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision." That's the Jews. Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. But notice what Paul said about himself in verse 16. He said that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, whereas the 11, they were sent, the 12, they were sent to the nation Israel. They were to start in Jerusalem. Well, Paul, during his Acts ministry, he went to the Jew first, but then he went out from there and went into the Gentiles. Now, I want you to notice also, not only was Paul the apostle to the Gentiles, but the apostle Paul received that which he preached by direct revelation. Now, that's very important. That tells us that Paul was not preaching the same gospel that Peter, James, and John were preaching in the book of Acts. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, Paul says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." In other words, Paul is very emphatic that the message that he received, he did not get it from Peter, James, or John, or any other apostle. He received that message directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." And we find that in Galatians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul says, "And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them," them being the apostles there in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 15. That's when Galatians 2 takes place. And when Paul goes back there to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15, he said, "When I went by revelation, communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain." He says down in verse 7, "But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me." In other words, the Apostle Paul received by direct revelation the words of Christ, and those are the words that he preached and he wrote down to the church, the body of Christ. And that is where we find our doctrine. That is where we find the truth for the church, the body of Christ. Now, all of the Bible is true, as I've mentioned before, but the truth for us, as far as doctrine is concerned, you cannot find that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, there are those that go back over there and they take certain scriptures out and they try to apply them to the church. And generally, they do that in order to try to put people under their control. I believe in reading all of the Bible, but the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is kingdom doctrine. The doctrine of Paul is church doctrine. And that doctrine was given to the Apostle Paul by direct revelation from the Lord, as he says in Galatians chapter 1. Notice, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says concerning the church and concerning his ministry, in verse 10, he said, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." Now, Paul is talking about, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he's talking about rewards. He's talking about our reward at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I want you to think about this. If the Apostle Paul laid the foundation, and other men are to build upon that, then what reward would those apostles have before the Apostle Paul who were preaching in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6? Well, their reward has to do with their faithfulness to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Paul, concerning the church, the body of Christ, said, "I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereupon." As a matter of fact, Paul makes several references to the fact that not only did he lay the foundation, but we find that Paul was the first person saved in the manner in which he was saved. We find that in 1 Timothy chapter 1. You say, how can that be? Well, everybody in the Bible was always saved the same way. Absolutely not. That cannot be the truth. In Romans chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "If by grace, then it is no more of works." Now, you just need to consider what the Bible says and try to consider what the Bible says above what you've been taught in the traditional religious system that you may be a part of. The Bible says, "If by grace it is no more of works," then there must have been a time when works were involved. And obviously, in the previous lessons that we've gone through, we've seen that that was absolutely true. There was a time when works were essential to be saved. They could never save a man entirely by themselves, but they were required for our salvation. That's why James said, "Faith without works is dead." There were works involved in the book of Matthew. Jesus told a man to keep the commandments. He told a man to sell what he had. Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Peter said, I perceive that in every nation he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Whereas Paul said, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. So Paul was the first person saved totally and completely by grace alone. He tells us that in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 14, he says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. In other words, Paul is the pattern of salvation for us today. He was the first. He said that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern. He said, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereupon. Now I want you to notice also, the Apostle Paul received that which he received by revelation. He received it by revelation of the Lord, not from man. Paul laid the foundation. Paul was the first man saved totally and completely by grace. And then we find that Paul was given the dispensation of the grace of God. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2, Paul says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. There was a mystery that was revealed to the Apostle Paul. It was not revealed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was not revealed in Acts 1 through 8. It was revealed to Paul, and that mystery was that God would save Jew and Gentile in one body by the gospel. In other words, Paul's gospel was that Christ died for our sins. He was buried, he was raised again for our justification. And by that gospel, Paul said, today God is saving all men by grace through faith, no works involved. Simply by trusting Jesus Christ, a man is saved today, placed into the body of Christ. That's the mystery that was given to the Apostle Paul. He said this dispensation of the grace of God was given to him to usward. That is, God revealed it to Paul to tell to us today. Now, the problem in religion today is that people will take Paul's teaching, but then they mix the works message with it. They mix the law with grace. They mix water baptism with grace. And they cause people to stumble and not see the truth of the gospel. And it's because people do not rightly divide the word of truth. They don't distinguish between the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Romans through Philemon, and Hebrews through Revelation. They just throw it all together, and they fail to rightly divide the word of truth. Paul was given the dispensation of the grace of God. It was not given to Peter. It was not given to James or John or any other apostles. It was given to Paul. You say, do you worship Paul? You talk about following Paul. No, we don't worship Paul. I don't worship the Apostle Paul. It would have been just as well with me had God chosen somebody else, but he didn't. He chose a man by the name of Saul, changed his name to Paul, and he gave him the dispensation of the grace of God. He gave him the gospel for today, and I praise God for that. I'm thankful today that I know about the grace of God. I'm thankful that I know that salvation is by grace through faith and that no works are involved. And you see, other people would see and understand that if they understood the difference in the Gospels of the kingdom and the gospel of the grace of God. Now, Paul's message was a mystery. It was not made known until it was revealed to him. He was given the dispensation of the grace of God. He was given the mystery. He said right there in chapter 3, verse 3 of Ephesians, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And as you go on and read there in verse 4, he says, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, the last thing I want you to notice is something that we've already alluded to several times today. But I want you to notice some passages of Scripture that show us that Paul preached a different gospel from Peter. And he was sent to a different people than Peter. And the apostles themselves, Peter included, acknowledged Paul's ministry, and they were in agreement with it. Back in Galatians chapter 2, verse 6, Paul says, "But of these who seem to be whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter." Now notice verse 8. "For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship," notice, "that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." The gospel of the circumcision was the gospel of the kingdom. It was the gospel that was preached to and among the circumcision. As I mentioned, when Christ sent out the 12, he told them to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he says, "You go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." We see that that kingdom of heaven message was accompanied by certain things. In John chapter 3, it was accompanied by water baptism. In Matthew chapter 19, we see that that message included keeping the commandments. A man came to Christ and said, "Good Master, what must I do to have eternal life?" And he said, "Keep the commandments." He said, "I've kept all the commandments from my youth up." And he said, "Well, then go and sell what you have and give alms to the poor." And the man went away sorrowful. In Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching this gospel of the kingdom. Several times he says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words." And Peter preaches to the nation Israel there a murder indictment. He says unto them, you Jews, you by wicked hands have taken and crucified and slain the Lord. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, he said, "Now therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." You know, it's interesting when you consider that there's three times in this Bible that people ask directly the question, "What must I do?" In Matthew chapter 19, a man said, "What must I do to have eternal life?" Christ said unto him, "Keep the commandments." He said, "I have." He said, "Sell what you have." The man went away sorrowful. In Acts chapter 2, they asked Peter, "What must we do?" He said, "You've crucified the Lord of glory." They said, What shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized." Two things included. Exactly what Christ told him to preach in Luke 24. He said, "Repentance and remission of sins shall be preached first at Jerusalem." Well, that's what they were preaching. Repent and be baptized. But the third time you see the question asked is in Acts chapter 16. Paul is in jail there, and the Philippian jailer, fearing for his life, he said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." He did not tell him to keep the commandments. He didn't tell him to confess his sins. He didn't tell him to be baptized in water. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Well, believe what? Apparently, obviously, it would be believed the gospel that Paul was preaching. What was that gospel? He said in 1 Corinthians 15, "I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." He said in Romans 1:16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So you see, Paul preached a different gospel. Peter agreed that he would in Galatians chapter 2. Paul's was called the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Christ. It was the gospel of the uncircumcision, those that were not Jews, those that were not allied with the nation Israel. Peter, on the other hand, he preached the gospel of the circumcision. He preached the gospel to the circumcision as well. But the gospel of the circumcision was repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And folks, things that are different just are not the same. Two different gospels preached by two different men. Paul was given the dispensation of the grace of God. He was given the gospel of the grace of God, and that's what he preached from the day he was saved until the day that he wrote unto Timothy and said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I have kept the faith. Why? Because Paul had proclaimed the gospel given unto him. What was that? It was the gospel of the grace of God, the good news from God that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was raised again the third day. And the good news today, folks, is that you don't have to be baptized. You don't have to join the church. You don't have to do anything in your flesh in order to be saved. All you've got to do is come to a point in your life that you're willing to relax and quit trying and simply trust in what Jesus Christ did for you, and He'll save you for Christ's sake. Wouldn't you do that right now?
Grace Bible Church extends to you and your family a cordial invitation to join us for our Sunday services. Bible classes begin at 10 a.m. with morning service at 11 and informal evening Bible study at 6 p.m. For more information, phone 847-0768. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Understanding Your Bible. For more information, write to the address on your screen or call 423-847-0768. Be sure to be with us again next week for another edition of Understanding Your Bible.